May I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer.
Amen.
Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And herein lies an unusually complex problem for the modern scientific mind. What is resurrection? What did happen? What didn't happen? And if it happened, how, when, and where did it happen? The biblical accounts seem infuriatingly inconclusive, because John does not tell us how the resurrection happened. He tells us only that it happened. And in our second reading this morning from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear Peter telling a new story, a story about God's inclusivity. You see, the first Christians didn't so much believe in the resurrection as they experienced it in their lives. And it changed them. It transformed them into becoming a community of what today we would call change agents. In short, the resurrection was a conclusion that the first Christians drew from the experience of their lives. Now, can you believe this story? I'll leave you to ponder that in the privacy of your own thoughts. You see, our emphasis on the verb believe or not believe goes to the heart of our dilemma. A popular view of religion is that it gives answers, and yet many turn away from religion because faith poses more questions than it provides answers. And in our community here at St. Martin's, those of you who know Flay Lewis will know that Flay is a mischievous man. This last week, through the post, a cartoon arrived. And I knew it was from Flay, because who else? Flay knows that I need to lighten up a bit. And in the cartoon, a conversation between Lucy and Linus was taking place. And Lucy says, "I have lots of questions about life, and I'm not getting any answers." And Linus looks at her blankly. Lucy goes on, "I want some real, honest-to-goodness answers." And Linus and Lucy gaze into the near distance. And Lucy continues, "I don't want a lot of opinions. I want answers." And Linus looks at her sheepishly. And he says, "Would true or false be all right?" We humans are storied beings. However, when we hear the word story, we think of something less than true, because we're conditioned to think of hard description as the only language that conveys truth. And so we make up stories to tell our children because we believe that they're not old enough yet to understand the scientific, technological description of the world. But when I use the word story, I'm talking about truth plus. Stories convey the multi-layered complexity of the meaning of life. And our stories are attempts to make sense of the world. Our identities are constructed from the stories that we tell, particularly the quality of the stories that we tell. The bigger the story, the more room it offers for a sense of self within an expanded experience of the world. The smaller the story, the more constrained our experience becomes. And 21st century scientific technological realism is a very small story indeed. Without a necessary component of transcendence, it offers little room for the big picture of humanity. Now, if you don't believe me, take a look at how the popular imagination today is dominated by stories of the supernatural, superhero sagas infused with magical realism. It seems that when it comes to religion, however, especially the WASP version, the supernatural, or to give it its theological term, the transcendent, is no longer tolerable. Herein lies the root of our disaffection. Technological progress always offers more than it delivers. Alone, it does not seem to make us particularly happy or contented. And each time we hear a story, new challenges and new meanings emerge. New understandings dawn for us because we are never in the same place twice. In story, meaning is never fixed. It is always fluid, constantly morphing. And if we really listen to our stories, storylines change because either the story is never told the same twice, or if it is, as in the case of the gospel accounts, we never hear it in the same way twice because we are never in the same place twice. And I thought this year that I would make it easy for myself, and I would look back on my previous Easter Day sermons. I was looking in the hope that I would find something to retread the tire, as it were. And what I discovered was that despite the sheer brilliance of my previous Easter Day sermons, that was then, and this is now. Today is 2016. I hear John's account of the events at dawn on the third day following the death of Jesus, not as I heard it in 2000, nor in 2014 or 2015. I hear it from where I stand in 2016. A new context. A new location, no longer then, but here and now. And even compared with this time last year, today the world looks and feels a very different place. It's astonishing what a difference a year makes. And there is a particular poignancy to John's account of the resurrection as we listen to it from within the current American context of political and social polarization. Today's discriminatory political rhetoric, which only a year ago, if not exactly unthinkable, was unsayable. And it is now proudly and publicly trumpeted by politicians who seek to outdo one another with even more incendiary claims. And like Lucy, many of us are seeking answers, real, honest to goodness answers. And we seem ready to accept simplistic, true, or more often false answers that offer the illusion of solutions to those things that we most fear. And as we grasp after honest-to-goodness answers, we fail to notice the violence taking root in our hearts. And we receive this story of Jesus' death and resurrection in 2016 into a world in which the threat of global terrorism is more real today than ever before. In the face of an escalating environmental catastrophe, strident voices of denial attempt to mislead us with the age-old sorry tale of humans putting short-term profit motive before that of long-term sustainability. The resurrection is a story. It's an epic story. The resurrection is the big story of the Christian people. And from within the Christian perspective, we believe that it is a story of a tipping point, an event in history that changes everything in our relationship to God. In raising Jesus from the dead, God has done a new thing, after which everything has changed. In 2016, we hear this story on the cusp of what many of us feel to be a new tipping point. A tipping point when the political and environmental stability of our nation, and not just our nation, but of the whole world, is up for grabs. Our attitude to change is always paradoxical. We have a kind of back-to-the-future mentality that grips us. We fear and resist change, preferring to retread old tires with threadbare answers, while at the same time, we long for some kind of change, any kind of change that will break the seedy cycle of business as usual. And the first Christians, those who came at dawn on the third day after the death of Jesus, they didn't worry about whether to believe the resurrection or not. It seems from reading between the lines that they were no better able to believe the impossible than we are. But they came to understand. They came to understand. Because out of their lived experience, they noticed that they were being changed. Lucy would not have much time for the resurrection because, like most important things in life, it cannot be understood through the prism of yes or no answers. Resurrection is not primarily a belief that's either true or false. Resurrection is an experience in living. To borrow a term that's familiar to those of you who play bridge, resurrection is an action through which love trumps violence. Love trumps hatred. Love trumps fear. Love encourages us to resist the easy answers of the true or false. Answers peddled by hard men in this world, concealed behind the seductive mask of their firm certainties. And our story, as we hear the resurrection in 2016, the key question for us is this: Do we have the courage to let this story empower and transform our living? Now, speaking for myself personally, on my own, I'm one person, and my doubts are huge. And the answer is, I'm not sure. Yet my doubts evaporate when I consider that I am part of a community that owes its origins to this story, a community of solidarity shaped by this story, a community that, because of this story, keeps faith with those who otherwise inevitably will become the scapegoats for our fear. We are the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves. Our reality is constructed from the stories we tell each other about how we see the world. Resurrection is our story, the story of the promise of transformation. And if we have the courage to let it change us, as it changed the first Christians, then together we become the change we long to see. Amen.